Tokyo Drives 2, huh? I knew this was going to happen that soon. Come on, you know you were thinking it.
I am now.
We're talking about Chirac, the latest Spike Lee joint, as he says. Yep. Although I don't think he said it in this film in the credits.
No, I don't think
he used to always say a Spike Lee joint, and none of this did.
Well, he's not five anymore, so I think he's... Yeah.
Well, he still exhibits some of the skills of a just-out-of-college director.
And the enthusiasm thereof.
Indeed. Yeah. And the thing about Chirac is it is nothing if not enthusiastic.
No.
To be sure. This is a take on the Greek comedy Lysistrata, where basically all the women were sick of the Spartans and the Trojans fighting each other, so they said, we're going to stop having sex with you until you put down your weapons and stop battling over nothing, over your dick size, basically. And here it moves it to the mean streets of Englewood in Chicago and follows, you know, the two guys who are on either side. Nick Cannon is who's actually called Chirac, and you've got Wesley Snipes as Cyclops, who's kind of hysterical.
And yeah, and maybe, I mean, he's been in prison the last few years, so like, yeah, easily my favorite Wesley Snipes performance.
This is
the last
it's straight from Wesley Snipes in Demolition Man to this.
Yeah,
and that's not a bad thing. Nope. I'm okay with that.
And then you have Tiona Paris, who really makes. I mean,
she was great.
Like the only place I had seen her before was I remember was Mad Men, and just she was only on it for, I think, one season as Dawn Chambers, but she is so good. It's like a star-making turn for her, if for no other reason that she's just gloriously dreamy sexy in this part. And she's the girlfriend of Chirac, who gets talked into, basically shown the light by Angela Bassett, who says, you know, these guys, everybody's going to die. You got to stop supporting them. You got to take away something from them, mean something to them more than gangbanging in their egos.
Angela Bassett, who has finally become Pam Grier.
Wasn't there not a moment when you went, oh, it's Pam Grier?
Because there were quite a few.
No, it's not. It's Angela Bassett.
Speaking of, I'm Richard.
I'm Chris.
JC.
Yep.
We are reviewing Chirac, as previously mentioned.
And Angela Bassett as Pam Grier is not a bad thing either.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's a very good thing.
A Pam Grier movie.
Yeah.
Bio. You got your woman. And this is, I think, the most distinctive thing about this movie is, you know, I mean, we're like just like the comedy, it's the woman band together and take away, you know, snap up the pussy,
yep,
as it were. And but the distinctive thing about this movie is it's almost all in rhyme.
No, well, this is the thing. It drops the rhyming convention at any point where he's being serious, because this is a very playful, or, you know, for much of its duration, because it is an inherently kind of silly concept, and he plays up the silliness and the over the topness. Samuel L. Jackson turns up as the Greek chorus, and he is wonderful.
Yeah.
In this is
very good.
Sam Jackson at his most Sam Jackson.
Oh yeah, I'm sure Lee was like, turn it up to 11.
Turn it up to Sam.
Well, because everybody is up at that level in this movie. This is, I mean, it's definitely a comedy, but at the same time, when Lee wants to say, you know, to make sure you heard him and what the point of all this was, the movie kind of, and I know you didn't have this effect, but for me, it kind of stops dead a bit. I'm like, okay, maybe you go on too long. There's a sequence where John Cusack, who plays a priest here, who I thought was terribly miscast, personally.
Oh, no. Again, we're going to disagree on this.
But goes on for a good 10 minutes with just, you know, the mission statement of the film, basically, naming, like, every single event that involves guns, whether from cops or from gangbangers or whatever, even super recent news stuff. And I'm like, okay, I feel like you're over-explaining the situation at this point.
I mean, if you're talking about the scene, the funeral scene in the church, I like that scene. The first time John Cusack pops up on screen, I watched the trailer, so I knew he was in it. I didn't know what he was doing. And the first time you don't know that he's a pastor, he just kind of shows up, and he's like, what are you doing here? But then in that scene, I feel like it kind of made sense. And he does sort of explain why he's there in Chicago. And,
no, I don't have a problem with that. The reason for him being right there. I had a problem with that sequence in the context of the film was just banging the gavel a bit too hard, a bit too early, and a bit too long.
Well, the thing is, and the reason I thought that was fine, was that this is basically a play. This is not a film in that sense. It's almost like a musical. Musicals can go more theatrical rather than cinematic.
At points it is, though. At points it goes, no, now we're a musical. Yeah. We're going to have a big musical song and dance number.
Yeah. And I loved that about it. This is, that for me worked. But what I really thought was special about this, this is something we discussed earlier. I think this is one of the best scripts. Not necessarily from a point of narrative, because the narrative has been laid out for, 2,500 years since Aristophanes. I mean, like, he basically just follows that
plot. I mean, it certainly applies to the situation.
From a writing point of view, from a dialogue point of view, from a creating a totally alternative language point of view to anything you will see on screen this year.
Yeah.
Nothing comes close. This is extraordinary from that point of view. And the way it drops between the rhyming couplets, which can be playful and funny, and all the actors, because they're not used to doing this, deliver them in completely different ways, which is so fantastic. Dave Chappelle turns up for like 30 seconds as a strip joint owner complaining about his empty poles. And the way he handles those rhyming couplets is amazing. And it's not like anybody else in the entire film. And I adored. And then when it stops, and for me it's not, it doesn't slow down. What it does at those moments is like, this is the moment where we have to put the playfulness to one side.
Yeah.
And talk about what's really happening. And what Lee does, in a way I don't think he's ever managed with this degree of nuance in his entire career. Because, there's the old joke, about as subtle and well written as a Spike Lee white guy. When he puts those words into John Cusack's mouth, and John Cusack, two occasions, lays out, first of all, like what is wrong, but then lays out this incredibly textured depiction of, not only is the problem that there are sociological problems, that there is, and he does talk about specifics, not just like, isn't it bad that people don't have jobs? He's like, there's no trauma center in South Chicago. It's like, it's nicely super specific and makes me feel like I'm there. But you put onto that he says, yeah, all this shit is going on that is beyond your control, but you're still the one picking up the gun. That's your choice. And this, that Lee pulls that together. Mm-hmm. This weird, playful, silly side to it of women wandering around in chastity belts and taking over a National Guard armory and men going, I can't stand it anymore! And that farcical level, but then goes, this is what is really happening. Here are the underlying problems. And that we can do something about it, but it takes an incredible degree of will.
Yeah.
That, I think, is marvelous.
See, it's funny. Like, I mean, obviously, JC, you seem to agree with him. I came on the other side of that, where I felt the absurdist side of this, which is the bulk of it, and the let's be serious side of it, didn't mesh terribly well. In fact, it regularly took me out of it, and I didn't like at all that they're like, most of the time we're in verse, except for when not just when they're talking about something serious, they just get lazy and stop doing it for like four or five sentences, and then go back into it. I'm like, it feels like this, like they were like, well, we got to put it into production, so I know we're not quite there yet, but just go with what we have.
Well, I kind of feel like the point of the tone, that, drastic tonal switch is to kind of bring to the forefront the real issues. Like, it's funny when you're laughing at Dave Chappelle making one-eyed jokes to Wesley Snipes, who's this really vile and vicious gangster, and then, like, in a second, this is how serious the situation is because this shit is real. And it's like, the tonal switches have to be that drastic, because otherwise you won't feel how important this is. You have to be able to laugh with the bad.
I mean, I get what the ambition was here, was that. I just don't think felt like it worked. I felt like this felt like camp, not like something you go, okay, you actually succeeded in getting your message out there. I was like, hey, nice try, and it's super fun to watch, but it felt like a failure to me.
It remains to be seen, like, how impactful the message will be, like, to the people that actually live there. Like, we don't live anywhere near this situation, and but I mean, we still, these sort of things happen all over the place, and so I did feel like it just sort of highlighted the importance of what's going on. By, there being funny bits to laugh at as well.
I mean, we can't agree. I think we all do agree at the very least that this is a funny movie. It's very unique in the way that, like I said, all the characters are generally rhyming, and the whole thing keeps pulling totally absurd sequences out of its ass. Dave Chappelle, definitely one of the highlight funny sequences of the whole film, who's so good in his little brief appearance that you're like, well bring him back.
I did want more.
Yeah, I want an hour of Dave Chappelle in rhyming couplets.
Jennifer Hudson, who is, by the way, one of the most beautiful women right now in the world, I think. Remember when she used to be overweight? Which she was beautiful then, but she's even more beautiful now. And I was like, wow, she's stunning, and her performance in this as the grieving mother of a daughter who dies from a drive-by, which is kind of the match that lights this whole fire, is really strong, to the point where it highlighted in not a good way for me how cartoonish some of the other parts are. Like, both of the gangsters to me felt like they're in a Wayans Brothers movie.
Yeah.
They're, like, so exaggerated to the point where I was like, I think you guys got the wrong set of notes here. Especially Wesley Snipes, who's like Knight of the Killer Pimps from the movie I'm talking about.
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
No. From Hollywood Shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
Yee, there's my bitches! It's but so I, exaggerated.
I thought that was another part of it that actually worked, because when they're dealing with, you know, kind of this whole gangster plot, they are playing a game. It is an act, and this is and when they stop doing that, and drop into, you know, real speech patterns, then that's going, this is the world intruding on your little bubble, you know. And I think that was, for me, that's another part of why this worked.
Okay, I mean, you're definitely taking an interpretation of that I did not take out of it,
yeah.
But it's entirely possible that that's what he meant. It just didn't translate to that way to me. Mm. I mean, ultimately, at the end, I kept calling this the Chiraki Horror Picture Show,
because
it's got that level of kind of like just over the top and big dance song and dance numbers in it, and just a whole sense of like these characters that are so much bigger than life, and yet at the same time, it is actually trying to say something that needs to be said. I just worried it's not going to actually get to the people who we want to hear that message. In fact, I couldn't help but think that picture this movie's biggest influence won't be so much inside of that culture, the idea of like, oh, we should take this message to heart, but hey, man, we should do more verse-based movies, which I am not averse to.
Yeah.
I was not meant as a pun. I'm just mean, literally, I said it after Tokyo Tribes. I was like, I would kind of like to see an American attempt to do something like this.
Yeah. No, you don't want
to. Let's go to final thoughts. JC?
There were a few moments that I did feel it sort of tried too easily to make mention of things that were happening today. Like the original point of what happened is of everything happening within the film is events, you know, happening in Chicago or Chirac. And then eventually at some point, they just kind of casually mentioned the real names of victims who were shot by police and things like that. And that did take me out of it a little bit, 'cause I was like, well, that's not what you have been about this whole time. So I felt like that was a little too easy. But I mean, you know, still important issues nonetheless. I mean, overall, I enjoyed it. I got performances out of people that I hadn't, like, I didn't know Nick Cannon had, you know, that kind of a good performance in him, I guess, really since Drumline. I don't know what he's been doing since Drumline, for him to not have had a performance that, you know, that good since. I felt like everybody delivered here. I haven't seen everything Spike Lee has done in the last couple of years, but it does feel like a little bit of a return to form from what I'm, you know, familiar with from his past. And, yeah, I mean, overall, I did enjoy this. It's probably something I'd go back and revisit, and I put a lot of value in that, and so I would probably give this 7 out of 10 stray bullets.
Richard?
Lee has, from day one with Do the Right Thing, She's Got a Habit, has always tried to combine something fantastical with a real sense of pressing political reality. I think this is the most successful he's ever been at that. And I speak as somebody who honestly had given up on him as a narrative filmmaker and thought he was far more interesting as a documentarian.
Agreed.
For the last decade or so.
His stuff on New Orleans was really good. Oh, God,
stellar. If you've not seen his like 5-6-part series for HBO, go see that
It's
now.
Excellent.
It's just amazing. I thought this was witty. I thought it was timely. I thought this was... It's almost the antithesis of what South Park does, because South Park takes whatever's happening in the news and lazily turns it into a joke at the expense of everybody and just reinforces the ego of a couple of sport libertarian brats from Colorado.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't agree, but no, interesting.
fuck those guys and their, oh, aren't we great and smug? This is Spike Lee taking contemporary events, putting them through an artistic filter and trying to say something important and really feel like he's trying to change the world again, which I think is when Spike Lee is at his best. I think he's more mature. I think this is more rounded. I think it's funny, witty, sparky, pointed, timely. This is 9 out of 10 astounding Samuel L. Jackson hats.
Well, I think it's clear that you can get very different reactions from this movie. I think you're either going to find it a masterpiece bringing back Spike Lee to a form he's never even been in before, or you're going to find it a entertaining and ambitious train wreck of a film, which is how I found it. I found even like all the technical aspects where like you'd have a good shot, you're like, oh, that was interesting, but then the editing would be messy and just plain terrible at points. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Some of the just choices made along the way in this I thought were bad. Some of the ideas of like I said, specifically having some characters that shouldn't be quite that comical to me. I know you had a different interpretation on it, but like being that way kind of made it hard to take it seriously at all. But nonetheless, I did in fact enjoy this film. I just enjoyed it on a little bit of a different level than you did, I guess. I enjoyed it more like, I'm not in a mockery of it anyway, but like, there's nothing else like this. You know? So, and it moves really fast and it keeps doing things you don't expect. It's definitely fun. It's just, I think ultimately it's a fun, not very good film. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 times when I couldn't stop thinking about how hot Tiona Paris was after she left the screen. And she was. Wow, what a glorious throw on that woman. Seriously. And why wasn't Pam Grier in this movie?
Why isn't Pam Grier in every movie?
That's a good point.
Yeah.